Amanda from New Earth, New Time here. I had the pleasure to speak with Maxwell Egan from the Crow House about Sovereign Man, or as Max puts it, your preeminent trust. For those new to this subject, I suggest you visit the Crow House website and enter the Trust Law Lessons portal to further your investigations. Thanks for listening.
Look, Max, we're here today, aren't we, to talk about sovereignty. You've been getting across that really deep detail, and I'd really like to share it to hopefully a newer audience. And I've come to sort of define sovereignty into two different categories, natural and unnatural. And natural being in the heart of man and a lot of people waking up to it. And also unnatural, it's the world, the matrix that you talk about a lot, and people are waking up to that as well. But to start off, I'd really love to hear what you have to say about what sovereignty is.
Well, sovereignty to me is just simply knowing who and what you are. It's in the heart. It's knowing that you are a creation of God and there's nothing between you and that. There's no law that you're answerable to other than God's law, whatever you perceive God to be.
And, so cutting out the middleman.
Well, absolutely. I mean, a lot of what we get presented to us is sovereignty. Well, to me, anything that you have to fill a form out to claim this sort of sovereignty or whatever, it's fiction. I mean, you're already sovereign. People just don't realize it. What people have been trained to do is to give their power to government. And government is simply public servants. They're public employees. If you really look at the whole structure and hierarchy of it all, we've got, well, God created man. Man created society. Society created government. Government created statute law. So it's way down the food chain. Ultimately, I'm man, and the government are my employees. They're everybody's employees. See, they've turned the tables on everybody through the government-controlled education system, whereas now people believe government is something that controls them. But actually, they're a bunch of public employees, and they're pretty well running amok. And if you really look at the state of the planet, it is because our employees are running amok, and they're not accountable to anybody, because we've forgotten that we actually control these people. They're public servants.
That's right. Natural law, this is the whole point. Natural law in common law, because common law comes out of natural law, it's been hijacked and turned around and actually, in fact, stuffed in a basket somewhere else. And everybody has been bluffed, basically, into performing the way that they're told rather than knowing what is their natural law. And I see it also as the purpose of what religion has been for all these centuries.
Well, religion's part of it. I mean, it's all about mind control. It's all about division. It's all about making people subservient to something other than themselves. It's all about removing power from people. And there's a lot of good teachings in a lot of religion, but ultimately they tend to keep people looking for salvation from something external to themselves and never really taking responsibility for their own lives. That's what I find in a lot of religions. Under the actual religions themselves, relate very, very little to the actual teachings of whoever these religions prescribe to, you know, such as Christianity and Christ. Christianity's got very, very little to do with the teachings of Christ.
Yeah.
I find this with all religions, really.
Yeah, being a middleman again.
Well, absolutely.
Being direct current straight through is you are the sovereign being that you are in your own nature. Again, it's another, just the same way as the governments are doing. It's just been around for a lot longer.
Well, yeah, but it's a lot of it's got to do with self-responsibility as well. I mean, you've got to be responsible for yourself and take 100% liability for your own actions. You've got to be prepared to do that. You know, you can fill out forms and write documents and send them away, such as I've been saying to people, you know, if you simply query the Governor General or the Attorney General and ask him what's going on with this trust agreement that is your birth certificate and establish what your actual standing is. I mean, you can do all of this stuff, but ultimately there is no form you can fill out, there is no piece of paper you can sign and no procedure you can go down to make you free unless you know you are free to begin with. That's the thing. It's got to be in your heart. You've got to know who you are. And you've got to be answerable. You know, like you can't go out and say, okay, I'm going to free myself from the legal system and go out and commit crime, because it just doesn't work that way. You've got to be 100% responsible for your own actions. And that's a really important part of it. What it's called really is a preeminent trust. You have to have established your preeminent trust with the Creator. and actually know who you are and live your life to do no harm to others and to help reality by your presence in it. And if you can do this and you are living your life in this way, then why should you be subject to statute law which is designed to simply enslave you to a system which holds no benefit to humanity? I mean, this system that we've created, it serves humanity in no way whatsoever. So why should we be subservient to a system that we apparently created to manage our lives for us? Because it's not doing a very good job. And it's happening because people haven't established their preeminent trust. People are not prepared to stand 100% liable for their own actions, and that's one of the big problems.
Do you find that the awakening that's being talked about and being experienced by people at this point in time on planet Earth is part of this regaining one's own sovereignty, body, mind and soul?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's what it's all about. But see, a lot of people are waiting for this huge awakening. They're waiting for 2012. They think God's going to flick a switch or something and suddenly they're going to wake up enlightened the next day. They don't realize that they have to participate in it. They have to understand that they're free and they have to live their life in a state of service to the creation. And it's so simple. If you simply serve reality by your presence in it, you find that it serves you back and you don't want for anything. And if everybody started doing this, if everybody started seeing everybody around them as being just as valid as themselves and improving reality by their presence in it, regardless of what legislation or statutes have been written by people, just did no harm in all that they do, just did the right thing by everything and did no harm, the whole world would change very, very quickly. And people have to participate. That's the thing. People are failing to participate. A lot of people, especially where I live in Byron Bay, simply would like to sit there in love and light and meditate with crystals, and they believe that if they do this, they're going to change the world around them without ever applying that love and light they're feeling to their surroundings and to the people around them, and stop having stuff with people and issues with people and all of this sort of stuff. See everybody as valid, as just as valid as yourself. That's the key to the whole thing.
I've spent many, many years myself being part of the New Age movement and looking for the Messiah, et cetera, et cetera. But then I found that it really was deep inside. And one of the other things I found too was that I became very, very numb. And I was getting lashings and lashings of wonderful, wonderful feeling. But I couldn't do anything. I didn't do it. I didn't enact. I used to spend a lot of time trying to create it. I term this state universal valium, because you don't act upon things and then you realize and you wake up, and it doesn't matter how much you meditate on a pile of rocks. If you want it to be a beautiful garden, you've got to get out there and make it a beautiful garden. And that's how I see this. It's a very spiritual journey, what we're dealing with is sovereignty, about stepping right into ourselves and really seeing the truth. Because the truth seems to really become quite overwhelming, etc. But holding on inside yourself, it starts falling. The matrix just starts falling. And then you can do something about it. One of the first things I started doing was I started reading the Constitution of Australia, 1900. Then I went into the Australia Act and started seeing how they were just absolutely doing a massive bluff. Everything is bluff. But you've got to understand sometimes that you've actually really got to get involved in all of this document, but it still brings you back to what action are you going to take?
Yeah, well, absolutely. And what you find is that all of it's fiction anyway, you know. I mean, if you do no harm,
yes.
If you are following the path of the Creator, you know, and you are improving reality by your presence in it, then what does all of this stuff mean? We don't even need a constitution. All we need to do is to do no harm. There's all these rabbit holes. I've been down the constitutional law rabbit hole. I've been down the Freeman rabbit hole. I've looked at the UCC stuff. And what you find is that what it all really comes back to is basic trust law. It comes back to preeminent trust with the Creator. And it comes back to the fact that the governments are actually public trustees. We employ these people to create a viable future for us. And they're not doing so. So I would say that rather than trying to fight the system, just realize that the system is fictional. It's just a meme. It's just an idea. It's just words someone wrote on a piece of paper. It doesn't really mean anything. You know, these governments are acting in breach of trust. If they presume to be a higher authority than God, then the onus is on them to prove so. and we need to approach it from that way. I mean, I don't fight the system. I'm not interested in fighting the system at all. I will simply approach the system from a perspective of trust. And also, you've got your birth certificate. And your birth certificate in many circles is seen as an instrument of slavery. A lot of people are quite scared of their birth certificate. There's even movements to go through deed poll procedures to create new birth certificates so you can free yourself from government control and all this sort of stuff. But what you actually have in a birth certificate is a trust agreement. That's what you have there. You can see it's a three-part agreement. It's between your parents and yourself and the government. And it's to do with the all capitals legal fiction, the all capitals name that they put at the top of the certificate, which looks like your name, but it's not actually your name because it's in capitals. So that's basically a corporate entity. That is your legal person that you can use to operate in the corporate world. And this birth certificate is a trust agreement. You can see a beneficiary, you can see a grantor, and you can see a trustee. The grantor is, of course, your parents. The beneficiary is you, and when you turn the age of majority, which is about 14, then you also become the grantor, and the government are the trustees. They're the ones who signed the certificate. Your birth certificate signed by the Registrar of Births, Deaths and Marriages. That shows obligation by the government. That clearly shows them as the trustee. So if you look at this in corporate law, what you see is that as the beneficiary of this and the grantor of this legal person, you are also the sole shareholder, which means that you own all the equity. You hold all the equity in that name. And that is, therefore, you have the ability to appoint yourself as the administrator of that account, which is that all capitals legal name at the top of the certificate. So you just need to establish this position with the government and say, excuse me, I've got this birth certificate here, and this is showing that I'm the beneficiary and the grantor of this legal name. So I believe that I have the ability to appoint myself as administrator, and I believe that you're the trustee. So if I'm wrong, could you please inform me? Just let me know that I've got it right or not, because this is what I can see happening with this certificate. And if you don't contact me and inform me that I'm mistaken, then it will be taken as agreement that I'm correct, and a certificate of default will be issued to your department. And send that off to the Attorney General. Give them 10 days or 21 days to answer. And they won't answer because they can't, because that is what's going on. And so you issue a certificate of default and say, well, the Attorney General has agreed that this is what's going on, that I have the right to administer my own account. And so therefore, if you are attempting to enforce statutes against me, well, look, basically you keep those documents, right? You've sent it all away, registered mail. You've got a record of this in affidavit form, you know, send these forms off. And then if the government attempts to enforce a statute against you, which is actually in breach of common law, just file it with the court. File copies of the documents with the court with a motion to dismiss, because I have an agreement from the Attorney General that I could administer this account myself, and that the government are actually trustees, which means that there is no motion to dismiss. There is no neat reason to go to trial or anything. You know, if you haven't hurt anybody, if you haven't injured anything, there's no injured party, so you haven't actually committed an actual crime. All you've done is breach a statute, which is simply corporate rules. That's all this is. There's ways of dealing with all this. But you've got to establish what your standing is and know what your standing is, know what your birth certificate is. Don't fear this thing. Your birth certificate is a receipt for your share of the Commonwealth. And I don't want the money. This is another path that people go down. They believe that if they get into all this stuff, they can access their trust, and they can get the millions of dollars that the government holds, their share of the Commonwealth. They can get this, and they can go off and live the high life, you know. But to me, it's not about that. The government can keep the money. Money's fiction. Money is only really there to, you know, make sure we've got infrastructure. I don't need money in my life. I don't want money in my life. What I'd like is a community that didn't use money, that realize that everything that the earth provides for us is here for us. Money is just paper. Money is a means of keeping people in shortage so that they can't have everything that the earth provides for us. That's all money is. It's a talisman for control. We need to get rid of the stuff altogether, I think.
So this seemingly is a wonderful way of describing how to start non-compliance.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, non-compliance to me, people are always ask me what non-compliance is, and I say to them, non-compliance is love. Non-compliance is doing the right thing. If you look at this system, it's designed to ensure that you do the wrong thing all the time. people are in a state of shortage. You've got to profit from everybody around you. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. You've got to walk between the lines. You've got to do all this stuff. I mean, and all of it's fiction. All of it's fiction. The whole society that we live in is designed to create a society of sociopaths. Everybody believes that accumulation is wealth. We've got to have more stuff than everybody else, more paper in the bank, more bigger car, plasma TV, you know, better than the people on the other block, you know, bigger house, you know, better lawn, bigger car, everything. It's all about acquisition. I've got more stuff than you, so therefore I'm a better person than you. But usually you've got to climb over people to get this stuff, you know. And the way the money system works as well, it's horrendous. I mean, we've got this money system that keeps growing and growing and growing and inflating and getting worth less and less and less. But because it's interest-based, I mean, the money itself is based on interest-bearing debt, it means that no matter how much there is in circulation, there's never enough in circulation. There's never enough in circulation to pay off the entire, you know, to pay off all the bills. There'll never be enough to pay off the debt, no matter how much money is in circulation. So the more you accumulate for yourself, when you're accumulating like extra that you don't need, all you're doing is taking it away from someone else, and someone else gets thrown on the trash heap. And we're taught to do this at the expense of the people. It's all about us. It's all about climbing to the top of the heap, and then the one with the most wins. That's what life's all about, or that's what we're taught. But ultimately, at the end of life, it all goes back in the box and someone else plays the game. It's pointless. It's absolutely pointless. And what happens is people miss out on finding out who they are along the way. They miss out on experiencing reality for what it really is. They think that reality is just about stuff, and they're trained to think this way.
I've found that money, in fact, is another middleman. It stops the flow of your own current of life. And it distracts you and points you in a completely different direction. And as you were saying, it distracts you from what life really, really is. But one of the things is that we need en masse, basically, to move away from that whole system. And the only way we can do it, and you talk about it a lot, is to create a community. One of the interesting things that I found on this journey of sovereignty is that the coat of arms being a lion and a unicorn. And when you take uni and the lion and the unicorn and you sort of break those little letters down, it becomes union. And to me, that is exactly what they're trying to do, because the unicorn's actually got a chain around its neck. It's quite symbolic, sure, but it means a lot to me because it tells me that they're trying to stop us from being a community in union and from us being very, very profitable. Just because we are the ones who, in fact, create. They don't create. We do. We just naturally do it all the time. We have connection with Earth. We are natural. So I find money is one of those big things that could be the first to go. But there is always going to be a need of exchange. But usually that's in a natural state. That can be our excess, as in the excess veggies and the excess water we have or whatever it is. And that's a beautiful thing, and it's what I call our natural law. When we coming back to the Governor General of Australia, I don't know whether we've talked about that. Now, she's meant to be representative of the Queen and the Sovereign. I just want to take it over into that other false sovereignty. And but that's all a furphy too, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, there's two crowns. You've got to wonder which crown she's representing, the Governor General. The thing, yeah, a lot of people don't realise that there's two crowns at work here. There's Queen Elizabeth of the House of Windsor, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth of the House of Windsor, and she is the defender of the common law. That is her role. That's part of the coronation oath. But there's also another crown which is called Her Majesty in Right of England, and that is the Crown Corporation, which is the City of London. And that's basically run by banking cartels, and it ultimately can be traced back to the Vatican. And that's how they control it all, with the Sesta KV trusts that have been put in place by the Vatican. If you notice, the papal tiara has three crowns. That represents the three trusts. And those three trusts are what has been used to basically enslave most of humanity. And when we get subject to statute law all stems from Her Majesty in Right of England, which is the Crown Corporation. It's all corporate law. And so, therefore, what's actually going on here is our courts and our police forces and our government are subjecting people to corporate law when there is no contract is what's actually happening. They're attempting to enforce contracts against people that don't exist. And they're getting away with it because people don't realize there's two crowns. They don't realize they're not dealing with Her Majesty the Queen of England, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth of the House of Windsor. What they're actually dealing with is Her Majesty in Right of England, and that is a corporate entity. So that's another thing you could do, would be write to the Attorney General and just say, excuse me, I'd like to establish, just clarify something for me here. Which crown do you represent? You could write that to the Governor General as well. You know, which crown do you represent when you're upholding the law in this country? Perhaps, I mean, the Governor General, I haven't really looked into it, but she may actually work for Queen Elizabeth of the House of Windsor. And she may be the Queen's representative in the country, as she is supposed to be. But the thing is, we never petition the Queen when we have these problems with the other Crown Corporation. See, the Queen will only act, Queen Elizabeth will only act if she's petitioned to act. And so we have to do this. We can't just assume we're dealing with her when we get these fines and these summonses from the Crown. We've really got to look into who it is. So you just sort of write to them again and say, excuse me, I just want to clarify. Do you represent Queen Elizabeth of the House of Windsor, or do you represent Her Majesty in Right of England, which I believe to be the Crown Corporation? And since you're attempting to enforce statute law against me, I'm assuming that you are representing the Crown Corporation, which means that I require you to show copies of a contract that I have with your corporation. Because if you are attempting to enforce a contract that doesn't exist against me, then I will be left with no other option to contact the other queen, Queen Elizabeth of the House of Windsor, and inform her that there has been a breach of my common law rights. Because if they're attempting to enforce a contract against you that doesn't exist, well, you know, you can't enforce a non-existent contract. This is a breach of human rights. So we've even left the arena of it being a legal issue at this stage, and it becomes a spiritual issue.
Yes.
It becomes a case of human rights. So, but the Queen won't act. Queen Elizabeth of the House of Windsor won't act unless she's petitioned to act. That's the thing. And that's why this other Crown Corporation has been formed. Because it's part of the coronation oath that the Queen must uphold the common law rights of the people, land must be held in fee simple. There's all sorts of stuff that's in there, which is highly beneficial to the people. And this goes way back to, I think it was like Henry VI or Henry IV or something, wrote a document. I think it was called the Charter of Liberties and Freedoms or something like that, Freedom and Liberty. And it was this predates Magna Carta, and it gave a lot of rights to the people. And the Queen is sworn to uphold these rights, but in order to get away from that, they kind of formed this other Crown Corporation which looks like the Queen, but it's not the Queen. And this Crown Corporation is the one that creates all of these statutes and enforces all of this rubbish on society and has created the system that we currently believe is real. But really, it's just an idea. It's just a meme. You know, they have government-controlled education so that they can teach you that this is the way the world is. So when you leave school, you believe that this is the way the world is. But it's not. It's the way the world has been designed.
One of the ways I distinguish between the coronation oath, the Queen, the Sovereign, etc., and that kind of line, which is the law of God, is the language that's used. And when it comes down to common law, because she's meant to uphold common law, is the language, lawful and unlawful. And that always distinguishes it for me, because when we're talking about statute law, it's illegal and illegal. And that just defines it as complete as possible. One of the things about the coronation oath that I've also found very, very interesting, and this is more to do, and I might segue into sovereign in Australia, the peoples, the original peoples, is that the oath was actually to respect laws and customs for which they haven't done as well. So there's breaches all over the place. But the responsibility we really do have to take is exactly what you were saying, which is holding people to account. And that's where we're not holding people to account. With the Governor General, she became subordinate to the Premier, like our local governor in the States became subordinate to the Premier. I think that was from the Australia Act. Pretty incredible. They've just hijacked completely all the things that were streamlined, but it's this corporation, the Crown Corporation, that has hijacked it. And one of the ways that you're saying for us to start taking responsibilities to start writing to, identifying and writing to the governor, not the governor general, to the attorney general, and start defining, getting them to define the difference. One of the things I suppose is that it is the fear factor. And the fear factor is that the corporations basically got the guns and they rule by iron fist. And this is intimidating.
Well, it is, absolutely. That's one of the big problems. And that's why you need a mass awareness of how this works. And there's no point arguing this stuff with a police officer either. I mean, a lot of police officers just don't understand this stuff. And they're not interested, and they've got the guns, and they've got the tasers, and they will beat you up and take you away because they can, and they enjoy it. And that's why they're employed. That's why you find, I mean, there are some good police officers, but there are also a lot of people who simply are on power trips, and they're not exactly employed for their IQ. They're employed for their ability to be able to follow orders and for their tendency towards violent behavior. And that's a sad and sorry truth. I mean, otherwise, we wouldn't have the situation that we have with police. We wouldn't see the activity that we do from police. They would actually work to preserve the peace, and they would work to protect society. I mean, that's what we employ the police to do. We employ them to be the protectors of society and to uphold the law. But they're not upholding law. They're upholding statute law, which is not law, because it only applies to the employees of the Crown Corporation. It's actually their law. I have no contract with the Crown Corporation, so therefore I am not subject to statute law. But you need to establish that standing. And it is, fear is what keeps people from doing it. So what you've got to do, you know, like you get these papers and send them away, the papers that I mentioned before, to the Attorney General, and just establish what your standing is in the trust agreement. And get it all done by affidavit form, have receipts of it all, so you've got a record of the whole thing. And then if the police officers give you a ticket or something, just take the ticket. Don't worry about it. Just take the ticket and then deal with it administratively. Lodge the papers with the court and say, look, we have no jurisdiction, motion to dismiss. And that's it. You're giving them papers that are signed, and you're giving them papers in affidavit form. Just give them copies of them with all the receipts, and they can see that it's an affidavit. And a judge cannot overturn an affidavit, because if they did, there would be no rule of law. So that's one way of doing it. That's one way of establishing, you know, your complete sovereignty and your right to administer your own legal person. And the other way is to establish which Crown you're dealing with. Because remember, when the police officer comes and gives you a ticket or gives you a fine for whatever, what is happening is you're being charged by the Crown. The Crown is alleging that you committed an offence, so they are making a complaint against you. And that goes to the judge, and the judge looks, okay, I have a complaint here from the Crown, and that's it. The judge doesn't know, so there's no point going to court and trying to fight the court. Your problem is with the Crown, not with the court, not with the legal system, not even with the police officer. It's with the Crown. So you take the ticket, you take the fine, you contact the Crown, you establish which Crown they are. If they don't reply, then they've agreed to your terms. You issue a certificate of default. You lodge that with the court and you say, look, we have agreement of the parties that there was no jurisdiction. Case closed. We've settled out of court. There's no reason for me to come to your court because we've already settled in the 21 days grace that you gave us to settle. Because usually when they send you a summons, there's 21 days before you've got to go to court. And that time can be used to settle the dispute with the Crown. But nobody ever does it. People just go to court and they try to fight the legal system. But you can't go to court and fight the legal system, because as soon as you've gone in there, you've agreed that this is a valid system and I'm here and I'm under your jurisdiction. If I was to go to court, I would be going to the court as the administrator of my own name. I would be going there as the administrator in order to have a chat in front of the trustee, because I'm the one who calls board meetings for my corporate entity. And if I've lodged these papers with the court and they still insist on me going there, then I will contact them and let them know that I will be appearing in their court, and I'll be appearing in their court in my full 100% commercial liability as administrator for that legal person, and I'll be there to have a chat in front of the trustee. And if there's a fine, well, that's fine. The trustee can pay the fine. They can pay it to me if they like, because I'm the beneficiary. And that's the way it has. People have to understand what this system is. They have to understand that the government are our employees. And you don't want to fight this system. You don't want to fight these people. I don't want my trust. I don't want my bond. I don't want to claim any money. What I want is for the government to stop dropping bombs on Iraqi children in my name. I want them to stop destroying the water table in this country and selling natural gas to China in my name. I want them to stop enforcing non-existent contracts against my friends and the people that I live in my country with in my name. They're doing all of these things and they're getting away with it because we have forgotten that these people are our employees. It's a trust agreement and they are all operating in breach of trust. And I don't wish to even hold them accountable. I don't even wish to charge them and put them in jail. I just want them to stop destroying the world. I want them to come home. I want them to come back to reality and start acting like man again. Start acting like Homo sapiens. Not even human beings. We've got to get away from this human being thing. I'm not human being. I'm a man. You know, what, that's another wordplay thing. What is a human being? It's a being that's the color of man. It's a being that is the hue of man. Well, I'm not a human being. I am man. And God created man. Man created everything else. You know, everything corporate, everything governmental, everything society-like. We created this. This is the product of man. So we need not be subservient to that which we created. That's the attitude we have to have, I believe.
Great. With this corporate law, and it's like a pyramid, yeah? And one of the big sort of tricks, I think, that they've played on us is, haven't they put us into trustee as being trustee to the whole thing rather than them being trustee?
Well, they've tricked us into it, yeah. I mean, you go to court and they trick you into believing you're the trustee because court is all about presumption. You go to court, the judge is just presuming that you're the trustee and you never rebut the claim. You know, a claim in a court will stand as a fact if it stands unrebutted. So you can't go into court and claim, like make the statement and say you are the administrator, you are this. You've got to go there and claim that you're the administrator and give them the opportunity to rebut the claim. If they don't rebut the claim, then it's because you're not wrong. You are the administrator. But absolutely, they trick you into going in there and being the trustee. You go into court and they ask you to plead. Well, for a start, I don't plead. I'm not a beggar. I don't have to offer any type of plea. Who are you people? I've come to this court under the presumption that I'm the administrator of this account. So therefore, I'm presuming that you're the trustee. If I'm mistaken in this, then please show me proof of claim. Because I've got this birth certificate here which shows that I'm the sole shareholder of this legal person. Therefore, I believe that I have the right to appoint my own administrator. And that only leaves one other place, and that's trustees. So I'm assuming that's you guys. If you're claiming that you're the administrator of this legal person, can you please tell me by whose authority you're claiming that? Because I'm the sole shareholder, and I don't ever remember appointing you as administrator. I mean, I believe you people are public servants, aren't you? Because if you're public servants, then you're public trustees. I've got this birth certificate here, which is signed by you guys. So you're the trustee. So I've come into this court under the presumption that I'm the administrator and you're the trustee, and I've come here to inquire why a board meeting is being called for my legal person when there is no contract.
That's it, no contract. Really important thing, showing the contract. I mean, that's another thing, isn't it? Just to realise and to understand that we are under something that is contract law. It actually has nothing to do with something we really, really have. It's natural. It's just not at all. And that contract part is where they fall down, isn't it, on being able to prove it to you. So you start off from the beginning by putting into the Attorney General a letter of intent for them to prove, basically give you proof as to where their standing is. But you've got to sort of do that first, don't you?
Well, you send a letter off to the Attorney General, like a notice of understanding that, you know, I understand that this is how it works, that I'm the beneficiary, I'm the sole shareholder, I have the ability to appoint my own administrators, which I've appointed myself as.
Right.
I believe you people are the trustees, blah, blah, blah. Failure to, you know, if I'm wrong, please correct me if I'm wrong. If you don't correct me, then that will constitute agreement to what I've outlined in this letter, and a certificate of default will be issued to your office. Send it off registered mail, get a receipt for the delivery, keep copies of everything, and then when they don't, you know, give them 21 days or something to reply. They won't reply because they can't, and that will constitute agreement. They've just agreed that, yes, it's everything that you just said, and you've got record that they received the letter, you've got record of it all, so then you issue a certificate of default. Same thing, affidavit. Do both of them in affidavit forms. Get them signed by a justice of the peace and send them off in affidavit, keep records of it all. Then you've issued the certificate of default, and now you've got those two documents and you've got all those receipts. If you get a statute put against you, just take photocopies of all of those things, file them with the court, along with a motion to dismiss, because it's only a statute law. And if they insist on you coming in there, then you need to establish yourself as the administrator. You need to, you know, if they actually arrest you and physically drag you in there, you need to immediately establish yourself as the administrator, and you need to immediately establish which crown you are dealing with. Because once you've established that the government, that the judge is a public servant, I mean, you could simply say, I'm here regarding that matter. Are you a public servant? You know, and they will freak at that point, but, you know, you can say that. Are you a public servant? Because if you're a public servant, you're a public trustee. I'm here as the administrator. If I'm mistaken, please show me proof of claim. I mean, there is no contract with these people. And a lot of people are going to say, look, you can't commingle trust law and all this sort of stuff, but I'm not commingling. I'm just standing in my power. It's not about, I'm not talking about my preeminent trust in these situations. What I'm talking about is the trust agreement that exists between myself and the government. And all of the people in the court, the police officer, the prosecutor, the lawyers, the judges, all of these people are public servants. So therefore they are essentially all the same people. They all represent the Crown. So the Crown is the one bringing the charge against you, and the Crown is basically the one who is overseeing the case, because the judge works for the Crown as well, works for the Bar Association, all relates back to the Crown. So you've got an enormous conflict of interest happening here. But in trust law, the administrator, the grantor and the beneficiary can all be the same person, but the trustee can never be the grantor or the beneficiary. So you need to establish yourself as the administrator and the beneficiary as soon as possible, because that means that the Crown cannot be the administrator. It cannot be anything other than the trustee. And that means that every single one of them is a trustee. Every single public servant is a public trustee. And we've forgotten that, and we need to reestablish that. And look, I don't want to bring down the system. I don't want to collapse society or anything like that. I simply want these people to start acting as public trustees again, start acting to serve humanity. We don't need any of these wars. We don't need any starvation. We don't need any homelessness. We don't need an interest-based money supply. We don't need all of the things that these people are perpetuating against us. And they're basing the whole of society on its economic value rather than on its human value. But it was human beings who created this society. It was people, it was man who created this society. And yet this society puts man at the bottom of the food chain. We've got to turn the tables. We've got to put things back up the right way, because the government is actually way down on the food chain. We are the top of the food chain, and they've turned the whole thing upside down. Everything is backwards at the moment.
Yeah, that's the antipod. That's right. And it's a very, very true thing that we, as the people of the land, we really, really do need to hold them accountable, and we haven't been educated. I don't know if you can remember back, Max, but when you were a little kid, you might have sung the anthem being, you know, to the Queen, and the flag used to go up, and the Constitution used to be something that was put around. That is all shut down. I'm not saying that that's where it all lies, but education, as you've said, is where they've really been able to not let everybody know that this is our natural way of living, and they've been able to roll this out. And so, therefore, we need to really hold them check. Like with referendums, et cetera, whatever way people want to do it. But what I like about this and the sovereignty issue in trust, with what I'm calling trust law, is that it's, again, about standing in ourselves and taking responsibility, being an administrator for yourself. That really is taking it back on. So it's a fabulous way of doing it. Max, there's another thing I'd really like to talk with you, unless you'd like to have anything else to say about this whole trust law, is the other side of sovereignty, which is in Australia a very, very important issue for the original people. And I hear that you're quite involved with the sovereign original people in Australia and have an adventure coming up.
Yeah, well, actually, the original people, I mean, they're still the owners of this country. There is no document that can be tabled that shows otherwise, and that's the thing. And I've actually treated with the original people. They actually invited me into their tribe, which was a wonderful thing. But yeah, I'm off on a bit of an adventure over to James Price Point in the Kimberleys, actually. Be leaving in a couple of weeks, about 10 days or something, or 12 days. And I'm going to Uluru, and then I'm going to the Kimberley Coast, and I'm going to help them with what's going on over there with the coal seam gas hub that's being built. This is actually being built at the mouth of the Rainbow Serpent.
No.
And it's a shocking thing. I mean, even if they're going to build a gas hub, they could build it anywhere. They don't have to build it in one of the most sacred places in Australia. And it's also, they're building an offshore rig there as well. And the rig is being built right in the middle of a whale nursery. This is where the whales come to raise their calves to get them strong enough for ocean voyages. And they're building the gas hub right there. It's absolutely shocking. So we're going to, again, put it all back into trust, you know, and I believe that we need to do this. And I don't wish to attack these politicians. I don't wish to jail them. I don't want to do anything to them. I just want them to come home. I want them to realize what they're doing. And I appreciate this is going to be a very difficult task because many of these people are quite literally psychopaths. Otherwise, they wouldn't do what they've done to begin with. I mean, you simply wouldn't do this stuff unless you are, you know, more than a little sociopathic. And many of these people are actually psychopathic. I mean, even supporting the wars the way they do, I mean, it's just collateral damage to them and just numbers on sheets of paper. But in these foreign countries, there's bombs going off and children being blown to pieces. And it's absolutely shocking. And it's all being done in our name. So we need to put it all back into trust. So I will be going over there to Western Australia, and I will be speaking hopefully with some members of the government. I imagine there will probably just be a large police presence there to start with, but we're hoping to get quite a few thousand people on the ground over there this next month on October 10th. And we want to sort of create an impasse. So we basically have to go to the table to negotiate. And as soon as we do that, then it will be all going back into trust because it's got to be looked at from that perspective. The original people intend to simply set up camp there and reclaim the land, reclaim sovereignty over the land there where the gas hub is being built. And, you know, they'll just set up a campsite there and say, who are you people? Because we live here. This is our land. And that's basically what they plan on doing. And I wish them every luck. So I'm going over to support that. And that's what we all need to do. We need to understand that the original people still own this country. And if we treaty with these people and we respect these people and we start to learn these old ways and incorporate our society and their society into one society, then we can really bring about some massive changes. We can still have our infrastructure the way we have. We can still work and we can still use money, whatever, but take the interest off it for a start. If we create a system that isn't basically interest-bearing debt, then everyone would be paying about 1/18th of what they are for everything now, and there wouldn't be any inflation. So there's no reason we have to have this money system that we do, because all it is designed to do is to keep people in a state of shortage and to keep the price on everything going up. I mean, here in Byron Bay, there's a house I lived in town here about 30 years ago, and it was $80 a week for this four-bedroom house 30 years ago. And now it's about $450 to $500 a week for this same house. And it's just the same old house. Nothing has gone up in value at all. It's just inflation. It's just that is how little the money is actually worth now. Nothing is worth any more now than what it was 30 years ago. It's just that the money is worth less. And that's what people often fail to see. And this is because the money system itself is based on interest-bearing debt. It's perpetuated by our politicians. And it's what creates the situation where they go and steal Aboriginal land and they go and do all of this fracking and all of the stuff that they're doing to damage the water table around the country because it's economically viable for them to do so simply because everybody's short of money, simply because of this corrupt monetary system that our politicians insist on perpetuating. So we've really got to step back and look at all of this and put it in perspective and realize how simply we could fix all of these problems. And what prevents us really is the division that we have with each other. we perceive ourselves to be different than our neighbours or better than our neighbours, or, you know, this whole social hierarchy thing going on about, you know, the one with the most stuff wins, and this ridiculous attitude we have towards each other. We tend to invalidate everybody else's perspective around us and only see our own perspective of reality as being valid. And it's all about divide and conquer. So we never really look at these guys as they strip mine the earth and keep running off to the bank.
Infinite growth, I call it. And it's got to end because it's just ridiculous. It's destroying absolutely everything. Well, one of the things I've heard about, and hopefully I'm going to meet some tomorrow, is that the elders, as you were saying about the treaties and reclaiming their land, and there's a lot of farmers out there who are having a great deal of difficulty with the banking system, et cetera, et cetera, and with laws, not really laws, but with the legal system. They're starting to talk, some farms are starting to talk with the elders around here about coming together and uniting in just the way that you were saying. So what are the sovereign original people doing at the moment? Are they going around and reclaiming their sovereign land?
Oh, sorry, I missed that, a little bit of interference there. What steps are they taking?
Yeah, what steps are the sovereign original people? Is it a really big movement over Australia? I'm a bit ignorant to it, about them reclaiming their sovereign land, their homelands, yeah?
Well, it's about trust again. It's about simply claiming it. They're just going there. There's some people on Fraser Island that have just set up camp where the sand mining thing's on, and they've just basically set up camp right across the road into the mine, and they've said, no, you can't come in anymore. This is our land. You've just got to claim it by standing in trust. See, a lot of people, the government's tried to trick them and send them down this whole path of native title. Mm-hmm. Native title's a huge scam.
Isn't it?
Absolutely. And again, we went up to a meeting on the Gold Coast on August 8th with Kerri-Ann Cox and myself and Kerri's mother and some elders, Uncle Harry, and Mark McMurtry was with us. And we went up and we met with a panel, a federal panel, which was there to discuss changes to be made to the Constitution to recognise the Aboriginal people in the Constitution. You know, these poor people, we want to lift them up to our standard. We want to give them the same rights as everybody else and make sure that they're looked after, rah, rah, rah. And basically what they're saying is we want to put them all under British rule. We want to put them all under the Crown Corporation statute law. You know, that's what we want to do. That's what it's all about. And we went up there and we basically said, look, you know, the original people and the elders said, we don't really care what you do to your constitution. It's your constitution. It's not ours. And they're saying, oh, look, we'd really like to recognise the traditional owners of the land. And Mark McMurtry popped up and said, well, just drop the word traditional from that phrase, please, Mark. And that's what they're doing. They're basically realising that it all comes down to trust, and the government is acting in breach of trust. And even the original people who have birth certificates, again, this is a trust agreement. This is a trust agreement that exists between yourself and the government. The government is supposed to be acting in the best interests of the people, and yet everybody we see around us is in a state of struggle, is in a state of hardship, unless they are sociopathic enough to be spending their life profiting from the needs of others. That's the thing. That's the society we've created. So that's what they're doing. They're basically just reclaiming the land, and they're standing in their trust and standing there as the administrator of their own land and of themselves, and realizing that these governments are actually public servants. And I've actually been doing some workshops around here and teaching them how to do it as well. And they're getting it very, very quickly. I mean, because it's just common sense. It's all common sense. And if you know you are free in yourself, that's all you really need to do. There's a lot of people that are putting out complicated ways of doing this, forms you've got to fill out to go and collapse all these Sesta KV trusts and all this sort of stuff. Well, hang on. Now, just take it back to this birth certificate, this trust that was created on the day that I was born. Let's put it back right back to there and establish what this is, because once we establish what this agreement actually is, it automatically restores your rights and it automatically collapses any fictional trust that exists beneath it. So that's all you really need to do, is to know who and what you are.
Breaking the spell.
Absolutely. Break the spell. It's just a meme. It's just an idea. And if there's forms to fill out, If you have to fill out forms to prove that you're free, well, hang on, that's their rules. How free are you if you're filling out the forms they tell you to fill out? Just be free. Just know who and what you are and get them to establish if there's something that you can't do. If you're living your life to do no harm and you are claiming that I have to follow these rules, please provide me with proof of claim, because I know of no contract that exists between myself and you except for this birth certificate I have, which clearly shows you to be a trustee. So that's it. Game over. Where do they go from there? There's nowhere that they can go.
The thing I was trying to get across before, though, where the interference was, is that some of the local elders are helping some farmers at the moment by helping them to understand that they can come into the treaty. And that's something that do you know anything about that?
Well, look, no, I don't, but it's a good thing. That's absolutely what they need to do, because even under Crown legislation, even under the papers that Governor Phillip brought here, he said that sovereign law still reigns for sovereign people. There is no jurisdiction over sovereign people. There is no jurisdiction over the original inhabitants, the traditional inhabitants of the land, they call them, the Aboriginal people, they call them, when they're actually the original people. You know, we are Aboriginal because we are non-original. We came here. They are originals. They are the origine people. And so, yeah, absolutely you should treaty with these people, because that puts you under their law. And that makes you sovereign of this nation. That makes you a real Australian or a real person of real country. See, Australia is another British word. They don't even call the country Australia. They just call it country.
I find that actually very, very exciting, because of the fact of it's about time that we started understanding that when we can work together, it's going to take us a lot further than us fighting against the systems, but to stand in ourselves and then also greet the original people. We've all been a bit scared of them, I think, and that's just time over for that, because they're just beautiful people. And so any farmers out there who are interested in talking to their elders, just start asking around. It's as simple as that, really, and I'm sure that they are going to be really willing to start talking.
Absolutely, absolutely. They're beautiful people. Just get to know them. I mean, just establish a rapport and get to know these people and be honest with yourself and be honest with them and get to know them. They're beautiful, beautiful people. They really are. It's just such a different culture for a lot of white people. It's just, you know, just different for them. But I mean, I have some wonderful original friends, and they're beautiful people, absolutely wonderful people. And they've just sort of adopted me into their tribe, and I'm so happy to go and help them, because, I mean, even when, you know, a lot of the research that I've done, and a lot of the talks I've done and the films I've made, I've talked about how this shift is supposed to happen, how this rise in consciousness is supposed to happen. And if you look at everything in creation follows Fibonacci sequence, well, I believe consciousness does as well. And that would indicate that the way to create a viable future is to combine the present with the past. And that's why I believe it is so important to learn the old ways and to merge the two cultures together, because that's the only way we will create a viable future. We certainly can't go down the path that we're going, because this whole corporate system that is based purely on economic growth is destroying the planet, and it's destroying the people on the planet. It's destroying all life upon the planet. And if we continue to support a society based on digits on a screen, rather than the people within the society, then we simply won't survive as a species. So we have to take the matter in hand, and we have to do it quickly.
Union. We come back to union, not unity, but union, working together. You know, there's an interesting thing through time. I'm sure you've observed it, but, you know, it's all been out on the horizon watching all these just terrible, terrible things going on, wars, depleted uranium, you know, Fukushima or whatever. But it's time where we, in fact, just stopped and recognised that if we don't stop it, it won't stop. We have to stop it. We have to stop that having the energy, bring our energy back. And I call it a free will bypass also, you know, that by paying attention to the statute laws, we're actually buying into it with our free will. And so, therefore, on a spiritual level, karmically, it's okay. You know, they're not really doing anything wrong because we're buying into it. And so, to me, it's all about becoming union with yourself, union with the land, union with the people around, and taking our currency, our power, whatever way you want to put it, becoming administrator, becoming responsible, as you've put it, and really moving into this wonderful world that we can with this fantastic energy that's coming onto the planet.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely what we have to do. I mean, unfortunately, most of the world is brainwashed. Most of the world simply will continue on the way they are. And that's fine. That's fine. But the people that are awake really do need to be looking at these things and following these paths and bringing this energy into the grid. They really, really do. But again, you can't attack the system. You've got to forgive these people. That's one of the hardest things that people will ever have to do, is to look at these people who are running the planet now, who are incredibly sociopathic and have done some incredibly bad things, and simply welcome them home. Simply offer them an olive branch and say, look, you know, we tried to do it your way, but the world isn't going to survive. Nothing is going to survive if we continue down this path. And, you know, this is all trust, and we trusted you to act on our behalf. And what's happening isn't benefiting us. It isn't happening on our behalf at all. And so it has to stop. And, you know, we've got to be firm about it, but you've got to be non-violent about it as well. That's why you need a groundswell of people. You absolutely have to build community around you. You know, we already live in community. There's a lot of people that want to build alternate communities, and that's all very well, but don't disconnect from the community that we already have, because these are the people we need to reach. We need to break down the barriers between ourselves and our neighbors and start seeing everybody else's perspective as valid, and realize that the people that are doing all of this are just people. They're no different to anybody else. They're just people, and they're actually trustees, and they're a little bit out of control. But they're our servants. Ultimately, they're our servants, and we have to realize that. We have to stand in that power, and we have to start not holding them accountable, but holding ourselves accountable for not dealing with this situation, because it's up to us. We actually hold all the power, and we are the only ones who can deal with the situation. It has to come from the people. It isn't going to come from the system. It's not going to come from that which created the problem. You know, the problem that we are facing in order to fix this is the problem of overcoming the shadow within ourselves that keeps us disconnected from the people around us. We need to start seeing everybody as valid and supporting everybody around us so that we can all stand together and hold our trustees, you know, accountable. Pull them up and say, hey, enough is enough. We can't do this anymore. We want things to change, and we expect you to do it. If you're not going to, then we're going to put some new people in charge, or we're going to take charge ourselves, and we're going to put things right, because, you know, we have to do this. The world won't survive if we don't.
That's it, Max. I mean, feeding the monster isn't going to fix it. And this is a really big time for it. I know of a lot of young people, I'd say under 40, who have really been beholden to this whole crazy corporate world, who are changing and who are finding and discovering and ready with a whole new energy to do something about it, but just not quite sure knowing what to do about it. And I'm really hoping that this information is going to help them. And I really, really thank you for your time, Max. You're always a wealth of knowledge. Just to finish, have you got anything that you would like to finish on?
Well, no, I'd really like people to know the power that they have to affect change. And it's all about connecting with the people around you and knowing who you are and seeing everybody as valid. Stop having stuff with people. Every single person is perfect just the way they are in order for them to experience their own reality, the reality that they're here to experience. And all of these perspectives are needed, and all of these perspectives are valid. But we all have the same basic needs, and we all have the same basic wants, and so we should all respect each other. And we can fix everything in 3 seconds. We could change the whole world in 3 seconds if we were to simply drop these barriers and see everybody else's perspective as valid, and always work to do no harm. Serve the creation. Serve the creation in all of its aspects. That means serving other people, but it also means serving you. Don't serve other people at the expense of yourself, because you are part of the creation as well. Improve reality by your presence in it, and we can change the world. But we have to stand in our strength. We have to know who and what we are. We have to understand that we are man, and we are the ones who created government to act on our behalf. And once we realize that and put them back where they're supposed to be, we can change the whole thing.
Thank you, Max. Thanks for your wise words and have a fantastic journey. You're off to have a great time, I'm sure. We'll hear from you soon when you get back or beforehand, whichever one comes first. Thanks so much, Max.
My pleasure.